Good morning. Let's begin. We are beginning the fourth chapter of Sefer Yonah this morning, fourth and final chapter of Sefer Yonah. And again, if you have any suggestions, I'm happy to take them. And let's just review where we are in the book of Yonah. One of the big questions that we asked already about the book of Yonah was, number one, why did Yonah run away? And that's really the opening scene of the Sefer itself, is why did Yonah run away? And we have to really, I think, grapple with that a little bit more. And we'll see a new answer to that question in the opening sukkim of chapter 4. Secondly, we asked, why do we read this book? Who's the, so to speak, hero of the book of Yonah? And we've been focusing for the past few weeks on the role of Nineveh. And it's a very easy go-to say that Nineveh is the hero of the book. And the reason why we read Yonah in the middle or at the pinnacle, zenith of Yom Kippur, is to teach us about the koach of tshuva, the power of tshuva, and that is expressed really with Nineveh's miraculous tshuva, which should not be ignored or overlooked. But if that's really what the book is all about, then why are we moving forward? The chapter 3 ended, Sefer Yonah, with the tshuva of Nineveh. The curtain should close. Yonah should take a bow. The people of Nineveh should take a bow. Gamarnu, that's it. But yet there is a fourth chapter. So maybe there is something else going on beyond just the tshuva of Yonah, the prophet. So let's begin. And as always, we're learning together. Vayira el Yonah ra'a gedola vayicharlo. Yonah sees what happens. He is angry. Vayicharlo. He's depressed. He's aggrieved at seeing what just happened. Why is Yonah so sad? What's so sad about this? Yonah made a nevuah. Yonah said, if the Nineveh is going to get overturned.
He didn't want him to do tshuva. He wanted to.
Rabbi Lapp is correct, right? Simple understanding is he didn't want them to do tshuva. That's exactly what, that's not the outcome that he wanted. And again, this goes back to why did Yonah run away? Yonah didn't want these people to do tshuva. Why not? So the Mefarshim point out, one of the approaches is that the exact reason why Yonah didn't want to go was because they would listen. They would listen to him. The non-Jews, the Gentiles, they would listen to him. And the Jewish people at this time wouldn't listen. So this would look bad for Klal Yisrael. And it's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. And it didn't look good. Right? So Yonah wasn't happy with this. That is the approach of the Radak. Kamoshi Parashah Bavor Yisrael El Shavu Midarka Mara'a. He's not happy. He's afraid now, the Radak says, of what the retribution for the Jewish people is going to be. If one child listens and the other child doesn't listen, doesn't look good for the child doesn't listen. It just doesn't look good. And he is nervous. And this all came because of him. He's blaming himself for the choices of other people.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Does he also have a concern that this is going on his resume, that he was instrumental in making it happen?
Yeah.
Or was it purely concerned that he felt bad for the B'nai Yisrael? Because there's two separate things there.
Yeah. So it's not clear that it's personal, but it is personal. It is personal. He caused it. He was the goring. He writes, "Vitei tshuvasam goremes ra'a li Yisrael." Their tshuva is going to cause bad for the Jewish people, cause evil. You know, that's the Radak's approach here. And I think that's like the most straightforward approach based on what everything we've been saying. Rashi says that Yonah's concern was a little bit different. Yonah's concern or anger or right now was that this is more personal, that he's going to be called a Navi Sheker. Why is he going to be called a Navi Sheker? What did Yonah prophesy about? What did Yonah say? What were his exact words? In 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overturned. Was Nineveh overturned in 40 days? No, it wasn't overturned because they did tshuva. So Rashi says he's concerned that now no one's going to trust him anymore. He's going to be, you know, in the box. He's going to be categorized and labeled as a Navi Sheker because of something he said. Obviously, it should be given that part of a nevuah is that if the bad doesn't happen, it's because something positive, you know, people change as a result. But Yonah, nonetheless, is concerned with this. That is the approach of Rashi.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Nathan, go ahead. Question. Yeah. He thought that they would listen to him. Then they would listen to him, right?
Yeah.
So, on the other hand, let me say, I lost my thought. They were going to listen. He thought they would listen to him. I can't remember what my thought was.
No, I think what you're asking is, but it's a contradiction within two different commentators. That's why it's not. You're saying on one hand, Yonah didn't want to go because he knew he was going to listen, but then he's afraid he's a Navi Sheker because they did listen too much. So it's two different commentators. It's not I wouldn't say it's a contradiction because Rashi says one answer and the Radak gives another. The Abarbanel shares another approach. And this goes back to something that we addressed earlier, that when Yonah walked around town asking people, telling people, notifying them that in 40 days things are going to change, Yonah never said to do tshuva. Why not? Because he wanted them to fail. Right? That's what one approach we said. Dear Barbanel says, what was the ra'ah gedola that he felt? He saw that he was fine. They did tshuva, great. Now they are, right? The gzeira against them was overturned. But what's the problem? Is that they quickly changed back. They quickly changed back to their old ways. After the 40 days were up, a little bit later on, I mean, according to Barbanel, this story takes place a little bit later on than we would assume, but he says he saw that they went back to their derech hara'ah, darkam hara'ah. And because of that, he was now aggrieved. He was now angry. He came to grips with the fact that they changed, but they're changing back so fast. That is something that expresses disappointment and anger and depression in Yonah. You know, that's something very real also. You know, sometimes, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu had to deal with this as a leader. You invest so much in your people and you see actual growth, but then they take, you know, two steps forward and 10 steps back. And that's very sad. That's very sad for a leader to experience. And that was the aggrievement of Yonah, according to the Abarbanel.
But he should have been happy.
What?
He should have been happy, Yonah.
Go ahead.
Because his nevuah would be correct.
Yeah, but Hashem didn't change anything. Once it was over, it was over. You know, they changed. They saw they could change, and then it went away. You know, a principal says to a student, you know, if you don't shape up in the next 2 weeks, you're going to get suspended. So the next 2 weeks, they're great. They're wonderful. They're a star student. They study. They do their homework. They're kind. They're nice. They're generous. What happens in week 3? They go back. They go back to their behavior. So what does the principal say? I can't punish you now. I can't give you consequences because that was the deal we made, number one. Number two, I see that you have the potential to change. It's there. So that's always like a rallying cry for them. So I'm not gonna do anything next. I know you have the potential it's within you to do it. So that's, you know, that could be what's going on over here. Again, the tension between the Mefarshim is very real as in terms of what Yonah is feeling at this moment. Let's continue now. Rabbi Lapp, go ahead.
I see another little situation in this.
Yeah.
Yonah was a failure concerning Malchus Yisrael. He was not able to do too much to reform them, to make them do tshuva, that they should repent, that they should be morally disciplined according to our mitzvahs.
Yeah.
So Hashem says, okay, this hill is too big for me. I'll give you a little hill. Go to Nineveh. And here he was successful. It bothered him. Why can't I be successful with my own people, but I can with a non-Jewish people?
Yeah.
It bothered him. That too.
Yeah. And if it didn't bother him for his own sake, it bothered him for Hashem's sake. You get sad for Hashem sometimes. Yeah, I hear you. It's great. Thank you, Rabbi Lapp. And now let's continue. Let's continue. Vayitz Palel El Hashem. Yonah Davins. We learned the second chapter. The second chapter was a tefillah of Yonah. Yonah Davins again. Vayomer. Ana Hashem. Halo zed dvarai ad heyosi al masi al kain kidamti livroach tarshisha. Listen to the words of Yonah. Yonah says, Hashem, isn't this just what I said was going to happen when I was in my own country? Meaning, when I was in Israel, didn't I say this was going to happen? Again, what is this? Rashi, Radak, Abarbanel, what your approach is. Kiadati. Now listen. He says, this is why I ran away. Alkein kidamti livroach tashisha. This is why I ran away. I'm going to read this pasuk. You tell me what words are missing from this pasuk. Oh, you don't learn Yonah yet? No. You've heard these words before. What is missing from here? Ki adati, I know. Ki ata elchanun v'rachum. Erech apayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al hara'ah. I know you are compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, abundant of chesed, and overlook evil.
MS,
right? MS, no?
Yep.
This is Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Okay, Hashem is missing from here. Good, Chan of Racham are flipped around. Instead of the word MS, what does he say? You overlook evil. What is going on over here? What is going on over here in Sefer Yonah? So, Rabbi David Foreman makes this ha'ara of Aleph Beta. I had the privilege to learn with him. This is amazing. Listen to this. Anyone want to think, why would Yonah ignore the word or overlook the word, delete the word, nicham MS, and replace it with nicham al ra'a, like a Microsoft Word? You can have copy and replace, right? You can say every time the word says this, you could change it to that. Why do you think Yonah changed the word Nicham MS to Nicham Al Hara'ah? What was Yonah telling Hashem about why he ran away? I'll share with you Rabbi Foreman's answer. He says like
this. And away from the truth.
Yonah had a very hard time dealing with chesed. Yonah was an MS person. For Yonah, if somebody sinned, they deserved to be punished. That's the way the world works. You make a mistake, there are repercussions. There's no overlooking. There's no forgiving or forgetting. It's all, what do they say in Yiddish, fargin? There's none of that. It's MS. The world is MS. And when someone sins to Hashem, there need to be repercussions. Yonah's name, anyone know Yonah's father's name? Yonah ben Amitai. Yonah, the son of MS. Uwa. He's the son of MS, right? Is that really his father's name? Unclear. But it reflects the banner in which Yonah hangs himself on. And he says to Hashem, I know that you are going to overlook their evil. When I ran away, And I didn't want to be a part of this because I don't understand the way the world works and the way that you deal with the world. How could it be that somebody could be, or an entire city in this case, Nineveh, could steal, could, you know, have such, you know, poor and decrepit morals, and yet you're willing to let them do tshuva, give them a relief for 40 days, and give them time to do tshuva? That shouldn't be the way the world works. Hashem, I don't like the way you deal with the world. The world should be dealt with MS, not with chesed. So that's why Yonah, what does he do? He flips the words. MS for him is nicham hara, that you're overlooking evil. That's why I ran away. I don't want to have a hand in this. And that is maybe why he skips also Hashem, Hashem. Hashem, Hashem, why do we say Hashem's name twice in the beginning of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim? The Gemara says it's Hashem before the sin and Hashem after you sinned. Hashem has the same relationship with us before and after. Hashem is always there for us. It's like the father, mother saying to his children, the door is always open. You want to come back? The door's open for you. We're not changing locks. The code is still the same. You're always there. For Yonah, he couldn't muster the strength to say those words because they were anti-Yonah's policy with dealing with sinners. And that's Yonah's cluing us in right now as to why he ran away in the first place. It wasn't about non-Jews, tshuva, Ashur. This is not the way that Yonah deals with the world. And this gets into a very important question that we'll grapple with here in the fourth chapter is, who's right? You know, we're reading this book at the end of Yom Kippur, and we're dealing with tshuva. And we all have to do tshuva on some level, in some way, shape, or form, from something, from someone, And what's the audacity that we have to do tshuva? How do we have capacity to, you know, be forgiving to other people that have done wrong to us in our lives? And how can God do that for others? And how do we live in a world and a society where we see people do evil and then they change? Do we believe them? Is that our right to judge? This is a very real issue that Yonah is grappling with, and very human condition that we all grapple with as well. So we'll see how Yonah or Hashem wants to teach Yonah this important lesson. Okay, let's go on. Vata. And now Yonah asks the following. There are very few people in Tanakh that requested this of God. Vata Hashem. Kach na es nafshi mimeni. Kitov mosi mechayai. Hashem, take my life. It's better for me to not be living than to be here on this earth. Whoa. Who is the other person in Tanakh that said these words or similar words? Whether we take it euphemistically, allegorically, figuratively, or literally, there's only, I think, Moshe Rabbeinu. Sure. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Baloscha, as the complaints hit a climax, Moshe as a leader, it was nonstop the amount of complaints that he was receiving. And Moshe did not have email, text, or WhatsApp, and he still had that many complaints. Just imagine if there was emails back then. Vata Hashem, kach na es nafshi mimeni, ki tov mosi mechayai. But based on what we're saying, we can understand what Yonah is telling Hashem. Hashem, if this is the way you run the world, then I don't want to be a part of this world. This is not a world that I see as just. This is not right for you. I'm a good guy. Maybe I'm too good of a guy. Maybe I shouldn't be a good guy. I just learned that I could mess up, make mistakes, and then I'll just do tshuva. If this is the world where you allow sinners to be a part of this world, then maybe it's not for me. You know, I'll get another chance, a different place. I've had enough. I really had enough with the way that you deal with this. And that's, you know, and you could see that's a complaint that people can feel, people can hear. But people in jail find God. Is that appropriate? How do we judge them? I would just venture to say that we should not judge them. As difficult as maybe as that is, that's for Hashem to judge them themselves. But it is a very real feeling to say that is unfair. That is unfair, that the way that God runs the world. Vayomer Hashem. So now, I'm not a psychologist, but I happen to be married to one. I do think we have at least one social worker on the line. I'm not going to call on her, but maybe she'll share insight into this. So Yonah just tells Hashem, take my life. I'm done. I'm done. And by the way, this isn't the first time that Yonah does this. Yonah's sleeping at the bottom of the ship when the ship is failing, and the ship is sinking. Yonah tells the people to throw him in. He never takes his life himself. It's a very important point. He never does anything physical to his own body. But this is he's grappling with this. But Yomer Hashem, Hashem responds, again, how do you respond to somebody who has these ideations? Vayomer Hashem, ha-heitif charech lach. Are you so sad? Are you so depressed in this state? What is Hashem asking him at this moment? Ha-heitif charech lach. Very similar language to what Hashem asks Cain when Cain is very disappointed with the world and his punishment. What does it mean? Ha-heitiv chara loch. What does that mean? No, that's not, you know, when you hear somebody tells you this and says these words to you, is that the right response? How are you feeling? What can I do for you? Please describe this more. So it's not, we don't have such great answers to this, except to say that it could be that this, what Hashem is responding now is not to his previous request. It does not have a response, right? You know, there's a samech right here. There's a break in the action, and this is a new thought. And Hashem now is referring to what's going to happen next. Hashem's referring to what's going to happen next. Vayetze Yonah min ha'ir. Vayeshev mikedem le'ir. Yonah moves, and he makes a house. Vayas lo sham suka, vayeshev tachtecha batzel, ad asher yir'em ma'yeh ba'ir. Yonah moves. Where does Yonah live now? He moves outside of Nineveh. He makes himself a sukkah. Fascinatingly, he makes himself a sukkah. What holiday comes immediately after we read Yonah? Sukkos. It's pretty amazing. Sukkos. Vayeshev tachtah. He sits in this sukkah, in the shade of the sukkah, and he wants to see what's going to happen to this city. Now, what does this mean? By the way, Yonah lives out his life here. According to the tradition that we have, is that Yonah never comes back to Eretz Yisrael. He stays here. The reason why we know that traditionally is because there's a grave in wherever this is, in Iran, Iraq, Mosul is to where Yonah is buried. The prophet Jonah is buried there. So why is Yonah making a tent outside of the city? What is the goal of this? What is the goal of this? So the Ibn Ezra writes, actually, that this did not happen at the moment where we mention this right now. This happened earlier. Yonah takes a front seat or a back seat to see what's going to happen to the city. He goes around, tells people in 40 days it's going to be destroyed, and then Yonah moves out. But he moves out, Ibn Ezra writes, Shav lahaskir divrei Yonah v'asher karau l'fnei malos arvim yom. He moves there to see the destruction of the city. He moves there to see that they're not going to do tshuva, or hoping they're not going to do tshuva, and he waits outside to see what's going to happen to them. The Ibn Ezra is assuming there's no chronological order in the Sefer, and things can move around. That is a bigger discussion within all the books of Tanakh, whether there is Mukdam u'me'uchar b'Torah, and the Ibn Ezra is saying there is not, and this goes back a few psukim. Rabbi Lapp, go ahead.
I think he was hoping.
Rabbi Lapp, you're muted. Rabbi Lapp, you're muted. Rabbi Lapp, you muted yourself. Okay, when you change back, I'll go through the Radak, and hopefully you could change it back. Rabbi. Radak writes, Yashav lo b'makom shemizrach li'ir ad asher yira ulai lo yamdu b'tshuvasam b'tashuv gzera aleihem. Also, a very dark understanding of why Yonah moves outside the city. This is afterwards. It's taking place right now in this, present time in the fourth chapter. But Yonah knows they're going to change back, and he wants to see whether Hashem is going to punish them for not keeping with their tshuva. And again, this ties back to what's going to happen next and the way that he is dealing with this philosophical problem that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. So at this point of time when he builds his sukkah, they already started to do tshuva, correct?
It's a machlokas. Ibn Ezra says that's when it takes place. Ibn Ezra takes place about, 10 psukim earlier. It's in the middle of chapter 3.
So if they did start the tshuva already, right? So he's camping out just to see if it's going to stick or not. And even whether it sticks or not, there's definitely no correlation of what's going to happen to the B'nai Yisrael.
Yeah, it's not related to that. It's not related.
So what's his goal here? He just wants to see, what's his... At this point in time...
Yeah, he wants to see how it's all going to play out.
It has no effect on B'nai Yisrael. God can do whatever he wants to do.
Right. It's not related. It's not related to B'nai Yisrael. It's not related to them. This now becomes an existential Yonah issue. The last, again, it's just a few psukim. Perek Yudet, Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's the last seven psukim of the... This is Yonah. It's existential. Yonah, in many ways, is many of us at certain points in our lives, maybe now, maybe it was 10 years ago, maybe we're a little cynical, maybe we weren't cynical. We just were looking for truth and justice and peace. And we see some people suffering, some people not, some people getting away with. And that is an existential question that we all deal with. So that's what we will continue next week, to see how Hashem responds to Yonah. And what we can learn from this and how this connects to ultimately to Yom Kippur. But I think we're getting a bigger picture here. It's about how this issue is directly related to it. I wish everybody a great day and a healthy and safe week.